Social observers say that the waistlines of the Chinese people have expanded with the economy in recent decades. And now, kids as young as 8 years old are taking part in weight loss camps to shed a few pounds. So let's talk about this. What is this version, a kid's version or teenager version of Weight Watchers, I suppose, that's an American equivalent, and of these weight-losing camps.
Mm-hmm. So first, let's take a look at what is a weight-losing camp. Reporters from the West China Daily, City Daily, visited a youth weight loss camp in Chengdu City in Sichuan Province on November the 12th. So based on their field study, they found the camp includes a series of workout facilities, for example, like we can see in the gyms, like spinning bikes, running machines, yoga balls, micro dumbbell, and so on. But unlike general gym, the difference is there's a number of mini-size fitness equipment in this camp, which is only designed for teenagers. And here we also have some surprising facts of the camp. Introduced by the camp founder, and he said that there was a 15-year-old boy. He came to the camp whose height was 1.75 meters and with the weight at 120 kilograms due to the imbalanced diet, of course. And in addition, the youngest member in this camp is only 8 years old.
Wow.
Yes, and also, I think people are curious about, what about a price?
Yes, how much does it cost to send my kid there?
Yeah, so generally, for each session, it will take like 28 days. It's a cycle. The basic training fee stays at about 15,000 yuan, wow. But that's only for basic trainings. So if you want to have some add-up classes, for example, one-to-one trainer, and the price difference from coach to coach. For example, the cheapest coaches charge about 800 yuan per hour, while the most expensive one may ask for about 4,500 yuan per hour.
Oh, 800 yuan per hour, that doesn't sound very cheap to me.
So that's more than 100 US dollars,
right?
Yeah. For just 1 hour.
Hour.
And
one
that
hour.
Is the basic stuff,
yeah.
That a coach can provide. And also, sorry to intrude here, so 15,000 yuan for the
28 days
training, that would be 2,000 US dollars. More than that.
Yeah, more than 2,000.
Yeah.
So just to give you a picture.
That's
yes.
Steep.
And here we can see what the camp will offer you. So those kids have to join the closed training program, and which means they have very strict timelines for meals, exercise, medium to short distance hiking, and a decent sleep. And also the living conditions are similar to staying at a 3-star hotel. And each kid, they have an individualized diet and exercise plan designed by experts who have served China's national Olympic team.
Well, so you'll have the top people to get you trained and even sort out the food for you. That sounds like a tailor-made kind of program. If that's the case, then I can understand why it's so expensive.
Yeah.
But still, I'm still stunned by how massively expensive it is. This is a camp just for kids or teenagers, so anybody who's below the age of 18. Yet, what do you think about all of this? Made you a little surprised or raise your eyebrows at all, Tony?
Well, I'm from the U.S., and we have our share of obesity going on there, so I guess I could say I'm surprised, but not really that surprised, unfortunately, because we all love these, you know, restaurants called McDonald's and Burger King and a lot of these fast food restaurants. So I feel that it's growing and a lot of people are starting to get bigger. And this camp, I think it's a really good idea. It's a familiar sound. Back in the States, there's a very famous camp called Camp Shane, which has been in existence since 1968. And it has an advisory, you know, panel compromised of doctors and psychologists and dietitians, and they create programs for kids. But this camp is not only for kids, it's for, well, young kids and teenagers, and I believe women as well. So it's a bit spread out. It was on TV, like Dr. Phil and 2020 and MTV. So it's a familiar concept. They offer summer weight loss camps in a multitude of states. And also the sessions are for about 3 weeks to 6 weeks. Some of them are 9 weeks. And the tuition ranges from around $3,500 to $8,500 American dollars. So it's a very, very expensive program. But this is, you know, they go about it a different way. You know, some exercise is important to losing weight, but they aim to make it fun. So they do a lot of, they have a lot of activities, you know, rock climbing, lacrosse, and kayaking, you know, just so exposing kids to different sports, but at the same time, with the same idea of getting them to, well, lose weight.
So is that prevalent in the U.S.? Is it common to see parents send their kids to these kind of camps and as opposed to...
At that price? No.
No. Yeah, that sounds pretty elitist.
Right.
Yeah.
At this price, it's, yeah, this is, you know, for people who are a little more high end. But yeah, for, I mean, and the rate of obesity in the States is, it's pretty high actually among people in lower economical statuses. So I wouldn't imagine they'd be able to afford this.
Oh, so it's like the people who need the service the most probably can't afford it.
Unfortunately.
Yes. Huangshan, do you see this as something that's new, recently emerged here in China? These camps that's, I hate the word camp, by the way, because it has a really negative connotation for me, especially.
Really?
Yeah, because it's like you're trapped in this place, you're sent to this closed environment and for weight purposes.
Maybe to become a better you.
Oh, but again, is better the right word here?
I feel like you're equating this to a boot camp.
Yes.
And boot camp is, yes, this is where you're stuck, you can't leave, and this is normally where you're, when you're enlisted into the military, they call it a boot camp. But a camp can also be a very wonderful experience where you meet lots of new friends and you're in the environment, campfires, singing songs. So I guess it just depends culturally what it means to you.
Yeah, it does. And now we're seeing that there are camps set up for kids and teenagers with weight issues. I dare not use the FAT word here, but I did initially to make everybody wake up, kind of thing. So, Huangshan, how would you look at this phenomenon happening in China?
I think this is definitely a new trend because for many years ago, maybe many decades ago, I think Chinese people, we were still struggled with starving issues. So people won't think about being overweight. But now in recently, we really see more and more obese children in the society. I think the rising of these kind of camps must reflect a rising need or a rising demand. And here we have some detailed figures. I think now they become really common. And in 2015, there were 15.3 million obese children in China. And also some experts warned that if this trend haven't been solved properly, maybe in 10 years, and there will be about 1 in 4 Chinese age 7 children and older, they will be obese. And also, if this trend continues, and obese children and teenagers, they age between 5 and 18 in China, will reach 48.5 million by 2025. And this number will surpass the population of Spain.
Whoa.
That's a very staggering number. So I think maybe it's good to have this kind of camps because now we see so many obese children, but maybe their parents don't know how to help their children. And if they grow up and still gain lots of weight, it's not good for their health and also maybe not good for their social life. So I think maybe it's a good way if there's a personal trainer and give you a very scientific schedule to how to train your body to lose weight in a very healthy way.
I think it's really important here also to, well, distinct between what is obese and what is overweight. And according to the American Center of Disease Control, doctors usually define overweight as a condition in which a person's weight is about 10 to 20% higher than quote unquote normal, as defined by a standard height and weight chart, or as a body mass index, excuse me. And obesity usually means a person that is 20% over the normal weight. And then you have another category, which I dread speaking about, but it's called morbid obesity, and unfortunately is an issue. This means a person is either 50 to 100% times over normal weight. So as an example, as a 6-foot man, you would be considered underweight if you're between 45 to 59 kilograms. And you would be considered normal weight for 64 to 82 kilograms. Mm. And someone that's overweight would be around the 90 to 100 kilogram weight. And I actually fall into this category because I'm currently 90 kilograms, but I work out and I'm relatively athletic. So it doesn't really give much information on if your muscularity. So if you have a lot of muscle and you tend to weigh more on this scale, you would be considered overweight. But this is how a lot of doctors go off of, they rate you on if you're overweight or not.
And that can completely miss the point. Just like what you said, Tony, because I remember earlier on social media, there was this comparison between the pictures of two women. One weighed 60 kilograms and is fit like a soldier.
Wow.
Like she could easily beat guys up, I think, if she was put in that situation. She can take down three if she wants at one go. And there's this picture of this other girl that weighed 60 kilograms as well, but she looked massively different. She looked, I suppose she was quite short as well. And, the comparison there. So, and of course, well, I saw that as maybe a promotion for some healthy eating company or some training gym or some place like that. So it's important to also check the other scores and make sure that you're not sort of missing the point here. And now with advanced gyms, when you join, like, they give you a test and they test your body mass, muscle proportion and a whole slew of different metrics and come up with the so-called scientific figure of what kind of exercises you should take and should you do more cardio or more of the weightlifting, that kind of thing. So it's really become a science as well as a business these days. But that's all about the adults, and that's some growing and maturing industry. And now when we look at kids and teenagers, I suspect it's a little bit of a different story. 'Cause I remember back in the day, when I was a teenager, I put on some weight. I could devour a cow easily every day, I felt. And I was shooting up. I'm a tall woman. And I remember gaining a lot of, maybe you can call it baby fat, but that's such a cute way to say it when it's just a lot of
extra weight.
Yes, that's put on just within a year, I think. And one day, my mom sat me down after I had my annual student checkup that was all like included in the Beijing educational and health system. And my mom was like, "Hey, sweet girl, you know how much I love you and nobody should be ashamed or, she didn't use that word, should feel bad about what they look like and none of that, okay? But you need to watch your weight now." And I remember that talk and I remember feeling a little embarrassed despite the fact that my mom already sugarcoated it for me. But I realized that, I'm a little fat. And that, now when I look back, I think that moment when you realize that you might be a little bit fat and the taboo and stigma and all the negative feelings that come with it, you can talk health issues, blah, blah, blah. But that stereotype about your weight and how you look, it already eroded my confidence a little bit. So this is, okay, so that's one thing, okay? And also for kids, because you're these teenagers, they're hitting puberty or they're going through puberty. So part of it might be you're eating unhealthy, but part of it could be that your body is going through transitioning.
Right.
So shouldn't that be taken under account as well? And we shouldn't just blindly say that, oh, you know, this person looks big, so this person needs to go to fat camp or, excuse me, weight loss camp.
I think it's a couple things. I think that, like you mentioned, parents get worried, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we know how society views people who are, well, fat, you know, for lack of a better word. But when they get to this, when they start getting larger, parents get worried and they start looking at alternatives to, well, help their kids to lose the weight. So I think this is probably a big reason why a lot of people are resorting to these camps. And you mentioned puberty, and I feel that, yeah, during this time, we do shed a lot of fat actually as we grow. But I really think it's important to look at the habits and how big this, you know, the child is. If the child is what you would consider obese, where they've gone to, you know, a certain extent, then you may want to consider some type of, you know, program for them. But if they're just a little overweight, maybe 10% over their body weight, then, you know, I think it's okay. It just depends on their habits. Again, if they're very athletic and they still have a little bit of weight, then they'll probably lose that. But if there's someone who's very sedentary, who likes to just read comics all day, then that might be a red flag. And also another thing to point out, I feel that it depends. For example, like I had a lot of siblings, you know, I had a lot of sisters. And if I ever got off track and started to get a little stomach, they would point at me, they would laugh, I would be the fat boy in the family. So I really think that siblings really keep each other in line, because if you ever gain a little bit of weight, they're going to let you know it, because kids are wonderful and innocent, but they're also very brutally honest.
Well, sorry, Tony, but would somebody might possibly get traumatized by that?
Absolutely.
And that's bad, right? Yeah.
Well, I also think that trauma can also lead to positive results.
Sometimes, but with a broken heart and a bruised soul.
Yes, but as you get older, you realize that it was child's play, but you use that as a way to get you in the gym, to keep you in shape, because some of those word associations that are in your mind, fat, chubby, they stick with you even as you're an adult, and it keeps you in line. So I think sibling rivalry is necessary. And in China, it seems that, well, there's a lot of single child. Child families. And researchers have found that boys without brothers had a higher body mass index and were about 23% more likely to be overweight or obese than other boys that had, you know, more siblings. And girls, interestingly, the risk for sisterless daughters to become obese was 43% higher than their counterparts who have sisters. Researchers found that the difference was not statistically significant, you know, for urban individuals and rural individuals examined separately. So for girls, it seemed like it's not as high. I feel like girls have a bit more of a compass when they're starting to gain a little bit of weight, and perhaps their parents sit down and have that similar chat that you had.
My mom did.
But for boys, it doesn't seem to be happening. So I think the rate of obesity is getting a lot, you know, larger here for boys.
I don't want to sound so rude, but I have to say this problem didn't bother me when I was young, because I felt so blessed that I had a really high metabolism. But I do remember I saw some chubby classmates and being teased or being made fun of by some really rude classmates. So I felt sad for them. I think maybe the parents realized this point. They just want to protect their children. That's why they want to say when they saw the trend, their kids are getting fatter, they're trying to stop it. And also, you know, later on when I grow up, I know it doesn't matter about the actual figure of your kilograms, but it's more about your fat index in your body. So those children, they don't know about that, so they may choose a wrong way to lose weight. So maybe it's good for them to send them to the fat, I don't want to mention that one, that's so rude, that weight loss camp. And also they will give them a very healthy way of how you can lose your weight, because I know now many children, they feel guilty of doing nothing during the maybe summer holidays or winter holidays, just being a couch potato, staying in a sofa and watch cartoons, and they gain lots of weight during a holiday. And as a result, they say, I shouldn't do this. How can I lose weight? They just choose a very extreme diet. For example, stop eating anything or just only eat fruits and veggies instead of meat. But this caused more health problems to them. So maybe I think the camp, the existence has helped them to lose weight in a more healthy, a healthier and also more scientific way.
Mm. Well, then there's one thing also I think we need. I wish we have this information that I think parents need to be cautious about. That is, check out what these fat, excuse me,
oh, yeah,
weight
really
loss
hard.
Camps are doing. Because if your kid is being sent to a closed environment without your supervision for days, then I would want to know, like, every single detail, what's going on there, and to make sure that they are as good as they claim to be, scientific and safety and all kinds of matter-wise. But certainly, what they're talking about is just eating health. Well, it's easier said than be done, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Eating healthy and with the right exercise as well.
And I think that, well, I mean, obviously with the amount of money that you're paying, I would be doing that too. I would be searching to find out what else are they giving. But also I think that children learn by modeling, and they watch their parents and they eat pretty much what their parents eat, and they pick up a lot of the habits that their parents have. So if parents are going to the evil empire, I call it, aka McDonald's, they're going to be eating a lot of things that are going to be going straight to, you know, their fat intake, and just it's going to make them a lot bigger. So I think that parents definitely, if the kids are having problems with obesity, they have to look at themselves and find out how they're contributing. And I know that may be difficult for a lot of parents, but it's a lot easier to go out and buy, you know, an Egg McMuffin, which contains, and this is a very common breakfast when you're on the go, I understand, but a sausage McMuffin, according to the Daily Meal magazine, with egg, contains a whopping 285 milligrams of cholesterol. And the McDonald's Big Breakfast with hot cakes and a large biscuit, which everyone loves, a very famous meal, which is probably the most unhealthiest food that you can eat, it contains an insane 575 milligrams of cholesterol. And this is a really big problem, because sometimes these meals are not high in fat, but cholesterol is what goes into your heart and causes all kinds of issues. So it's a problem. This fast food, I'm from the fast food nation, so I preach, just stay away from McDonald's.
Yeah, I think there's some merit to the traditional Chinese diet, but sometimes when we cook with so much oil, then that becomes not so healthy anymore. Right. One last question regarding this topic for you guys is, during this discussion, I feel we've already automatically shed some negative light on FAT. But is that correct? Shouldn't people have the liberty, freedom to look the way they want and not feel bad about it?
That's a beautiful question that you asked. And I feel that we should be proud of who we are if that's the way that we would like to look. But a lot of times it's a product of how we live, and we are not happy with it, but we find ways to deal with it. And that's a defense mechanism to combat it. So we just say, I should be free to look the way I want to look. But really, they prefer to be thinner.
Yeah, well, one thing I don't like is stick thin. So, and people should have their choice allowed. You're listening to Roundtable. We'll be back after this break.